Little things in my life has caused me to go through mountains of crap. Right? But the big promises of God have caused me to lift myself up in my life, regardless of the stuff that I came through. I related to you the other day that, or a week or two ago, for the first time since I was 18 years old, I got nothing on my record. Now, it's been a long time since I was 18. But for the first time since I was 18 years old, I am clean for the first time. Nothing on my record at all. That blew my mind. And, you know, to most people, that seems like nothing. But to me, that is a major move of God in my life. Amen. Amen. But the name of this Bible study is You Can Have It. And what I'm talking about is having the power of God in your life, of course. And I want to go to John chapter 14. Gospel of John chapter 14. You see, I want you to have it. I want you to know that you can have it. I want you to know it's available for you. But you got to want it. But before you want something, you got to know what it is before you truly understand what it is you want. Now, in my life, all I want in the end is to fulfill my destiny that God made me for. And when I get up to the pearly gate, He just opens up and says, "Enter into your rest, thou good and faithful servant." Now, what does that mean except for I must be a good and faithful servant? It means that when things get hard, I do the same things I'm supposed to do anyway. That I no longer run, I no longer hide, I no longer avoid issues in my life. You getting this? That when I get there, I have performed the task that He has given me, the very purpose for my existence. And I'm here telling you today that no matter what you're going through, that you can do it. I'm here telling you today, no matter what you've been through, it is available for you. No matter what you're going through this moment, God has already ordained a path for you. And He will supply the need for that path. But you have to learn a few things. But I'm going to bring the promises to you today. I've told you before, I have a imagination. How many people have heard some of my imagination? Well, I'm going to relate it again. Now, the imagination that you have is a God-given gift to be used for His good or for your bad. Right? Now, a lot of times the perversions that go on in the world come because of a lack of control in our imagination. Amen? Now, me, I sit there in the midst of whatever I'm going through, and it's directly related to this verse that I'm going to read. But I just want you to know that I use my imagination to propel me and prompt me to do more for God now. Right? I no longer look at the things that I see as obstacles. I look at them as opportunities. I no longer think about what I'm going through as a hindrance, but I think of it as a character-building chance for me. You understand? I now look at things through spiritual eyes instead of looking at things through carnal or worldly eyes. I don't look at people as black, white, green, yellow, or orange, but as God's gift to this world that we might, through God, overcome the things of this world. You hear the difference? I don't look at men or women as men or women. I look at men and women as spiritual envoys from God to reach the world through Him. You see, it takes a while to get there, but that is the truth of God, and that is where God wants you to get. But let me read right here in verse 14. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Who's He talking to first? He's talking to His disciples. Amen. People that have stepped over the line and made a decision to live for God. A disciple is a follower of God, not of self. Did you get that? A disciple is a true follower of God, not of self. That you lay your life down on the cross and you pick up the resurrection power on the other side and you live for Him. Right? And the way that happens is you follow Him, not you. Did you get it? You become a servant. You see, the biggest award that I see in the Bible according to the Word of God is that He looks you in the eye and says, "Enter into your rest, thou good and faithful servant. You get it? That's the biggest reward you can receive from Him. So in order to do that, you must become everyone's servant. All right. Father, I just ask today, Lord, that You empower this word that You wrote, Lord, that You had written, God. That it be today that every heart and every mind receive it into their spirit. And above all, God, let it be this day that we grab a hold of what's about to be spoken and hang on to the promises that are spoken no matter what we go through from now until You come back or we get to go home. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, so it says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, also believe in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, and I go to prepare a place for you. See, Jesus, even after He died, is still a servant to us. Isn't that amazing? God, Jesus, even after hanging on the tree, after going through all that, even after being resurrected, He still wants to be our servant. So how can it be that we don't want to be anyone else's servant? You see, I mean, you think about it. God, Jesus, made a real statement of you, if you will, of the church today. What it should be is He washed His disciples' feet. The night He knew He was going to be betrayed and passed on into the next life. And I sit there and I think about that sometime and I go, man, we've lost it somewhere. You know what I mean? We've lost it somewhere. Because I cannot envision most of the people I know that serve God washing other people's feet. But isn't that what Jesus did? And on top of it all, when they did go get Jesus, He looked just like everybody else. And how do I know that? They had to send somebody that knew Him by His facial features in order to find Him and bring Him back. And yet most people I see today, they're into fashion statements and different things. And they're about, how would I say it? Look at me-itis. Did I get that right? You know what look at me-itis is, right? Hey, I'm over here. They will run to wherever a camera is. Now we're blessed we don't have that kind of leadership. Amen. Let me qualify. I would never serve that kind of leader. You understand? I would not serve, and I have a choice, you know, who I serve. And I would not serve a person who serves themselves. I would serve people that serve others. So I want to qualify that right now, okay? But I'm telling you, if you look around in the world today, you're going to find that a lot of people have missed this part of Jesus, right? As a matter of fact, you know, I love my pastor, Tommy. He could have anything. I'm sure he could have jet planes, mansions, whatever he wanted. He could. But he doesn't. Amen? Why? Because no people can bring reproach against him for those things. He flies Southwestern Airlines. How many people ever fly? I mean, that is humbling. You get a bag of peanuts, a Coke, and a half a smile if you're lucky. And that's the total service you get per flight. Amen? Now, I mean, if I had the money, and I don't, I would buy him first class everywhere because he's worth it. But I doubt if he'd take it. He might. But it's just his heart, his attitude is to stay at that level where people can identify with him. You see, they got the truth, which is that Jesus would have us to be the same as others so others can relate to us. Amen. We're not to be above, right? But Jesus said, in My Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare, I would not have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Now Thomas, doubting Thomas, everybody's heard of doubting Thomas, right? This is the man, he's always doubting. He's got to stick his hands in holes and envision with his eyes before he believes anything. We are not to be like doubting Thomases. We are to believe. Amen. So Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him. What's he saying? If you've seen me, you've seen my dad. We are one and we are the same. And from now on, if you know me, you know my whole family. Right? So Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and it is sufficient for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? What he's saying is, I am my Father. My Father is me. And you get through the Father when you go through me. You see, if you don't know Jesus, if you don't feel something inside of you every time you hear the name of Jesus, if you don't feel a prompting in your spirit, if you can't sense who He is, then you are lost and without hope until you get a hold of the hope, which is Jesus. Amen? Because if you don't know Jesus, you are never going to be able to see the Father. Because the only way to see the Father is through the Son. You know, my wife teaches children's church quite a bit. Amen? And one of the things that was going on for a while is they were very big on the Old Testament. Now, the Old Testament has great stories. Right? It's mostly either get right or I'm going to take care of business. You know what I mean? And that's kind of like how the Old Testament was. And she stood up and she said, no way. We have got to teach the kids about Jesus first. Amen? Because if you don't get the love of Jesus in your life first, you're not really going to want to hear a whole lot of what is told in the Old Testament. Because you're going to be sitting there waiting to get whacked every day. And that doesn't seem like love to a little kid. But a little kid understands love, and when they understand that you love them, then they will take correction from you. But if you just beat a kid every day and never say nothing to them unless they're doing something bad, they're going to get awful callous to whatever you have to say. You know, by the time I was 11 years old, I remember in my house it was kind of a brutal home, you know. But I remember when I was 11 years old, my mom came in and whatever. She said I was doing something. And this one time, I was innocent. You know what I mean? I hadn't been doing anything. And, you know, I've been whooped by all my brothers, my dad, my mom, all my life. I was a kid. You know what I mean? And she took me down into the basement to give me a little therapy, you know. And she's down there and she had a steel ruler that she was using. And she bent me over and she whooped on me for a half an hour. And I just looked at her and I told her, I go, you know what? You've got every tear out of me you're ever going to get. Says, you're never going to get another tear out of me again, ever. You know why? Because all I ever got in my own house when I was growing up was whooping. Never a you did good. Never a I love you. Never a this. Never a that. And by the time I was 11 years old, I was done. There was nothing else they could do to me. Now, this isn't a testimony of how mean my house was. This is a testimony of how kids are. If they don't understand love first, they are not going to take the correction that they need to get on a path and find their destiny. And that's why Jesus has got to be the first thing that we teach anybody. Because Jesus is the reason why we want to learn the rest. You getting this? How many people believe that might be true? It's true. So when we're out there and we're trying to win people to the Lord, we got to teach, preach Jesus. Love. God's love for you. And stay right there and get that Bible and put it in the background until they get the knowledge of Jesus through the love they see in you. Amen. So it says right here, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. When they get to know Jesus, and when you get to know Jesus, now you're going to start to understand the rest of the story. Amen? It says in verse 10, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the words. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. It says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And he says, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, and that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. My text is, you can have it. What? Whatever you ask for. It's a promise of God that is inviolate. Everything God says is yea and amen. Nobody can take that from you. Whatever you ask, you can have. If you notice, there doesn't seem, that's a very broad statement. How many people understand that is a very broad statement? That it says that whatever you ask, you can have. Now let me break this down to you. Help me, Lord. You see, the fact is, the first thing that you got to go through is an exploration of your belief in Jesus. Now if you really choose to believe, it is a choice to believe. Amen? You've got to make a choice that you believe in Jesus. Right? It has got to be a choice. Just like, and I go through this and people ask, when you were in sixth grade, you thought this guy or this girl was the bomb. Cute. Wonderful looking. I mean, they were great. You almost fluttered every time you looked at them. And by the time you got into ninth grade, you looked at your sixth grade photo album at that person that used to be in love with, and you're going, my God, what was I thinking? But at the time, you thought that they were the bomb. Right? But by the time you got into the ninth grade, your perspective had changed, and you looked back at the sixth grade and you went, oh my God, thank you, Lord, for not giving me everything I asked for. Amen? And then in the ninth grade, you fell in some kind of, I don't want to call it fantasy, but overwhelming feelings towards somebody else, perhaps. And I mean, it was a guy or a girl, and every time they walked by, you just had to look again. And then they walked by and you'd look again. And what happened is, something inside of you made you feel like, this is the bomb. This is the one. Oh. Are you getting the picture? And those are normal things. But by the time you got into 12th grade and you look back at your ninth grade picture, you're going, man, what was I thinking about? You see, you made choices to like those people, even though you weren't willingly doing it consciously. Subconsciously, you talked yourself into liking and believing those things. Right? And if I was to sit there and look back at who my high school people were that I thought were kind of okay, which, praise the Lord, I no longer have that album and I don't have to suffer through that, I would again change my mind to what I think is okay today. And my point in all this is, you make up your mind to like or dislike, believe or not believe, everything in your life. It is a conscious choice that has you to believe. Amen? Before you met God, you believed this thing. But now that you've met God, you believe this thing. Right? Before, you used to think this was okay because everybody's doing it. But now you know it's not okay because God says it. And this believing thing, in the end, is a choice that you must choose to believe. And this is what I have to say. Now, some people say they love God. Some people like Jesus. Some people say they love Jesus. But if, in fact, you love Jesus, you love His Word. Right? If you go to John 1, it says, Jesus is the Word. The Word is Jesus. Right? I am the Word, and the Word is me. Right? So what you've got to do is you've got to tell yourself, I love Jesus. I believe in Jesus. He's the man. Everything He says is true. And then you line up your life now by what He says instead of what you used to believe. Are you following me? You got to get a hold of this, because this is a hinge in your very life that is going to change the way you live your life. It is all on belief. It is all on love. It is all in that place where you realize and come to the understanding that I am going to make a decision to believe, and it is going to be inviolate, and I am not going to change my beliefs no more. How many people are starting to see what I'm saying here today? You see, you've got to make a choice. If you say you love Jesus, then you've got to love His Word. And if you love His Word, you're in it, you read it, and you let it manifest in your life. And the truth is that Jesus says, if you love me, if you believe in me, then you can ask whatever you want, and you can have it. Why? Because whatever you ask is going to be in alignment with His Word. You're going to ask Him for things that you already know He wants you to have, and because He loves you, He's going to give you many extra things that you don't even ask for, because now you have a love affair going on with the living God. Now your belief system has wholly changed, and now you're not about what you want, you're now about what He wants for you. You see, I sit there and I have an imagination, and I have a great imagination, and it works really good, and some days even too good. How many people know what I mean? But I have changed the way I use my imagination. That's like today, up till about 3 or 4 years ago, I was still sleeping on the floor sometimes because I took on in people, and when I ran out of bed, I'd give them mine. Because I believed that I was supposed to be a servant. Amen? So I am already saved. I want other people to have that opportunity for salvation. And how do they get saved? They see love in you first. And that's how they meet Jesus, is through the love that you show them that came from Him first. So if you put yourself first, they're going to see a self-centered person. But if you put them first, they're going to start to see the love that you have for them. And when they see the love that you have for them, then they're going to start to believe in Jesus. Are you following me? So up to about 3 or 4 years ago, these were common things. And as a matter of fact, I teach my overseers today that if we run out of bed, which we haven't yet, but if we do, they're sleeping on the floor. They're giving up their room. You understand? Because if Jesus has the principle of washing the feet, hanging on a tree, sacrificing His life for us, and we're supposed to be imitating Jesus, we got to get out of our comfort zones. Are you hearing me? And I'm going to tell you that once you learn to believe in Jesus, these things don't matter much to you anymore. And that's like I was telling you about my imagination. You know what I'm imagining today? I'm going to cheat like hell all my life. What does that mean? I am going to use the Word of God to get to the front of the line, whatever that means, in my life with God. Right? When I sit there and I start to use my imagination, when things are getting tough, I start dreaming about my mansion in heaven. I mean, I get right into it. You know, I'm sitting there. Ah, yes, it's tough out. But glory! I'm going to live for eternity in paradise. And when I get there, I'm going to have a huge 100-room mansion. And my floors are all going to auto-wax. I mean, you know, I love my floors, and they're going to go puff as I walk across the floor. It's going to turn back to wax right again. All my toilets, all my things, all my plumbing, everything is going to be perfect. I'll never have to run a snake, nor call a plumber, nor be a plumber again. My grass is going to auto-cut itself, and it's going to automatically manicure itself. And any rock, piece of gravel, or glass that might be in it is not going to be there. It's going to just disappear. And whenever I want to go outside and walk around in bare feet and run around, I'm going to be able to. Are you getting it? And then I'm going to have the bed in my bedroom. It's going to be round because I don't want to even think about what side I got to get into. And when I get into my bed and I sleep all night, you know, it's going to, of course, be open so I can look at the stars. But when I get out of bed in the morning and I wake up, I'm going to just stand back and watch it make itself. And I'm going to have an Olympic-sized jacuzzi. I mean, big. I'm going to be doing laps in there. You know what I mean? Are you getting the picture? Because I'm going to do whatever it takes now to receive whatever rewards He promised me in my future. And I'm not going to pay attention to the 60, 70, 80 years of whatever I go through, although I'm going to be absolutely blessed. I'm not going to worry about the little things because I'm going to look forward to the promises of the eternity to come. You know, if you would quit worrying about this one bad thing or whatever in your life and you would concentrate on your eternity and the 10,000 years you're going to live there, then what you're going through at this moment is not going to seem much in comparison with the glory that's to come. Are you hearing me? And I'm going to have a big haul and everything's going to auto shine, auto paint. Everything's going to automatically happen. No more tarnishes, no more nothing. And that's where I'm going to go to live. And I'm going to get my crown, you see. Well, we're going to be crowned, right? Now what the Bible says we're going to be crowned, right? In my crown is going to be many jewels because I'm not going to just go to the rich and famous. I'm going to go to the downtown streets of the hopeless and the homeless. And I'm going to sit there and witness about Jesus to them. And it says that every time a soul is saved, all the angels rejoice. So I'm going to keep them in choir form all my life. You understand? And in my crown, there's going to be so many jewels because I'm going to be the hardest worker I can be that if I don't keep my head perfectly straight, I lean a little bit. Are you starting to see what I'm talking about today? You see, there's nothing wrong with your imagination. But what do you use your imagination for? See, I want you to know that I've spent a solid day imagining these things. Have you yet? You see, because what it is, if you will take and get the vision of the glory that God has for you, you're going to be motivated. You're going to quit woe is me and having those Christian, what do you call them? Pity parties, you know? Nobody works but me. You understand? But if you get a hold of the vision that God has for you in the long term, then you're going to take and look forward to what you do today. I got one last little piece of imagination that I got to share with you. How many people can see I've thought about this a while? So you got to do that for yourself. You got to get out of yourself. You got to read the Word of God. You got to challenge yourself. I don't give a rip about this world. Whatever I go through, what are they going to do to me? Send me home? What's the worst thing that's going to happen to me? Somebody cut my throat and I go home? Dang, that sounds terrible. My round bed. Oh, my glory. You understand what I'm saying? But what you've got to get a hold of is this, that I am tired of reading the Bible. Well, Dominic, that sounds like real conflict. I'm tired of it. I've read about all the exploits of Paul, Peter, Samson, John, George, Frank, Thelma, all them guys in there. I want to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And I want to sit at the front table with the boys. And when Paul starts to speak, I go, whoa, whoa, whoa. I already read about that. Let me tell you what I've been doing. I don't want to have to sit in the back of the room. You know, can you imagine how big that place is going to be? And how many billions of people are going to be there? And can you imagine if you haven't done nothing for the Lord, you're going to sit so far back, the only reason you're going to hear anything is because God loves you and He wants you to get a whisper? No! Not me! I'm going to sit in the front of the class. I'm going to sit there and be right up front. I want to have done the exploits, the destiny that God has chosen for me, so I have my own stories to tell. So when somebody starts talking, I go, hey, 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 no, I already read that. Let me tell you what you haven't read. You see, and when you start to believe like I believe there is a reward system. Now listen to me. I don't know if what I imagine is going to happen or not, but I'm going to imagine it till the day I die. Why? It's a motivational tool. I mean, you know, I've been through a lot of stuff. And if you serve God, you're going to go through a lot of stuff. But you just got to keep in your mind the truth that God loves you and He's going to reward you in accordance to your deeds. And I'm going to believe in Jesus, which means I'm going to believe in the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And I am going to be one of His disciples, which means I'm not going to follow me. I'm going to follow Him, and He's going to take me right to my destiny, although the course may look like this, as we learn the things we need. And I am going to do what He asked me to do and perform the works that He asked me to accomplish, and I'm going to make sure that I have the joy, because He says I can have the joy, and if He says I can have the joy, I'm going to have the joy. See, you guys got to read this. You got to believe in all of it from Genesis to Revelation. And it says, if you will follow me, if you will serve me, if you will do what I ask you to do, that you will have joy unspeakable and peace that surpasses understanding all of your days. And He says that if you will follow me, that not only will you do the works that I have done, but you will do more than I, because I go home to my Father. I can't wait until somebody gets hit by a truck or something. I don't want it to be anybody I know, of course. I'm kidding. I don't want it to be any. But I can't wait until I see somebody dead and I go over and I latch on and I go, in the name of Jesus, rise. Are you getting a hold of it now? Why? Because He says that the works that I have done, you shall do also. I believe that some days I will lay hands on the sick and they will be totally made well. I believe that someday I'll lay hands on dead people and they will rise. I believe the blind will be made to see. I believe the deaf will be made to hear. What a life! You see, you got to get past your mundane, earthly thinking. You got to get past your pity closet. You got to get past thinking about everything in earthly terms. Well, so-and-so don't like me. Who gives a rip? There's a lot of so-and-sos that don't like me. Do I look bad? But you know what? I'm in fellowship with the living God. Amen. Fellowship, community. Amen. I walk with Him. I talk with Him. We have times together. Amen. There is no better time than a Jesus time. Every day I go through, I'm feeling pitiful and pathetic and woe is me and stuff. I just fall down on my face. And I've fallen down on my face right in the middle of the road before. People looking at me like I'm stupid. But you see, I don't live my life for me no more. I live my life for God. And God is the source of everything you've been looking for all your life. I don't care if you got this or you. I'm telling you that the source is Jesus, and you got to pour yourself into the source and He will pour Himself back. You got to be in communion with the living God. You got to live for God. You got to believe in the promises that He has written and wait in expectation for Him in your life. And I'm going to tell you right now, I used to go to the emergency room of hospitals. I did. I liked it. I thought it was cool. I'm going to tell you what, how many people want to pray for people? Then all you got to do is go to the emergency room, the trauma ward. Get one person to invite you in. You start praying for one person, and somebody over in the other corner is going to go, hey, I'm over here. I want prayer too. You understand? I'm telling you that all you got to do to get these things that I'm talking about is pour out the things that you've already gotten. And then you pour out what you've gotten, and God is going to pour in more. And what measure you pour out, God is going to pour in more. And I'm telling you here today that His promises are yea and amen. And if you will make a choice to serve God all your days, to live for God all your days to believe in Him who is the Word and believe it from Genesis to Revelation and all the way there through, then whatever you ask for, you will have. When? When you ask. Because He promises, if you follow Me, if you serve Me, that you will not only do the things that I have done, but more also. And He says, and when you get to go home, you can have a mansion not like mine. Mine is individualized. I don't expect you guys to get one like mine. But if you start thinking about it now and asking for it, you see, I'm cheating. What did He tell you? He says that whatever you ask. Now, I'll be honest with you. I don't really care if I get that mansion, but I'm going to keep asking Him for it. But if He doesn't give it to me, I'm okay with that. But isn't it something to look forward to? When you're in the middle of the pits of L.A. or wherever you might happen to work, and you better be ministering somewhere. I said, better be. And you're going through things and times and opposition in your life. Isn't it good to know that someday you're going to have the glory of God always in your life? And do you spend more time thinking about your misery, or do you spend time thinking about God's glory? You see, we got to get out of ourselves and we got to get in to what God has for us. We got to believe in Him wholly from the beginning to the end, and these things will come to pass in your life. The problem is a lot of us look at a year and we think it's a long time. We look at 5 years and we think it's a lifetime. Well, I'm 40 or some years old. And I'm going to tell you right now that 5 years ain't long and a decade ain't all that long either. Amen? So you got to get an understanding of walking in God, that in Him He's going to take you step to step all the way. He's going to put you through workshops. And then someday, when you're not expecting it, the blessings are going to come upon you and overtake you. And the glory of God is going to rest in your life. And you're going to sit there and go, why did I think it was all that anyway? Because you know what? The best thing that happens in our life is truly serving the Lord. Amen? You've got to make a decision to be a disciple. You've got to make a decision to be a follower of God. You got to make a decision that no matter what, you're going to do it. And you know, when you're struggling, those things that I'm trying to give you clues on how to overcome the struggles, instead of looking at your struggle, look at His glory. Imagine what you're going to get. Imagine, I mean, you know, God can give you everything. But He only gives you what you expect. I remember at one time I was just praying for one Peterbilt with a tractor trailer rig. And I thought, that can't be God. I want two. Amen? Why? I just want to pray God prayers. I want to grow in God. I want to think about the things of God. I dwell from morning to noon to night in what God is going to do, what God has already done, and what God is capable of doing. And if you can get a hold of this in your life and learn to live in the expectancy of the blessings and the promises of God, then you will have those things in your life because you are going to get what you believe. What do you believe in today? I'm going to tell you what you should believe is there is one God. Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit are all one God. That His intentions for you are good and not evil. That in fact, you are going to have to go through some things to get to where you got to go. Because all journeys take time and all journeys go through different things. Amen? But in the end, that His promises are yea and amen. And someday, soon, if you will be faithful, all these things will come to pass in your life. And I'm going to close on this right here. And, you know, about 6 or 7 years ago, I met this guy. And, you know, it doesn't matter. It's a person that you know, but it doesn't matter. And when he met me at that time, I was living in a very small, humbling place. Amen? And I had been faithfully serving God for a year or two at that time or whatever it was. And he came up to me and he asked me how come I wouldn't work, how come I wouldn't do this, because I had quit a job to go to work, right? Go to work for God, I mean. And he asked me how come I was broke. I had to, if I needed pants, I had to wait for somebody to bless me because I was too proud to ask for a pair of pants. But after the holes got big enough, people would come by and give me pants. Amen? I had two pairs of shoes. One was for going to the church, right? And one was for working in. The one that was for working in, of course, had the holes. The ones that were going to church were the ones that didn't have the holes. Amen? All my shirts, they've always been black. And once in a while, people would give me black shirts. And some of the black shirts I had, I still have to this day. All right? But, you know, he came by at that time and he told me, why don't you go to work? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? And I told him, you know what? I don't know why I'm going through what I'm going through. But I know that God would have me to go through this, and I'm going to go through. Are you hearing me? Because I had to go through things to get the revelation that God wanted to give me to empower me to do the work that God wants me to do. And in order to get those things, you're going to go through things. But if you really believe in God, if you really believe in Jesus, if you really believe that He is sovereign, you are going to do those things no matter how much grief, how grievous they seem to you at the time, and you're going to go through. And last night, he was talking to me a little bit for just a few minutes, and he goes, Dominic, he goes, I've watched you go through this. He says, I've watched you go through this. He says, and I've watched you go through this, and I've watched you go through this. And he goes, he says that I believe in the next year or so that whatever you put your hands to is going to turn to gold. And you know, I'm receiving what he's saying. And he told me the reason why is because I've been faithful. I've been faithful to what he's told me. I've been faithful to what he's laid on my heart. I've laid aside my life. I've picked up his. And you know what, people? That's the trick. Amen? The trick is you be faithful in the little things of God. You go through the workshops that he wants to teach you. And in the end, his glory will rest in your life. It won't be overnight. It won't be in a year, probably, although it could be. I'm not God. He could do it right now. Right now would be good for me, God. But what I'm telling you is that there is hope. Your hope is in Jesus. If you put all your belief and your hope in Jesus, whatever you ask, you can have. Hallelujah. Father, I love you today, God, and let it be today that each person in this room gets a hold of this. That God, it be right now that all of us just grab a hold of you, God, and hang on and take that ride, Lord. Because we know that you cannot lie. And God, I'm believing for all these things. I don't know what all I believe for, but I'm believing for a lot, God. And I just ask that you plant the belief in these people that's the same as the belief that you planted in me. Let them make that decision this day to wait for all this in their life. And we love you for it, God. You are so worthy. I love you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen.